So, good evening, hello, good afternoon, depending what time you're watching this. My name is Reverend Diane M. Daniels, and I am here for Beyond Sunday's Session 7 on the principle of generosity. Generosity flows from gratitude and a sense of trust in abundance. This session invites us to live with open hearts and explore how giving deepens our joy. So, welcome, friends. Tonight, we gather around one of the most tender and transformative Unitarian Universalist values, generosity. Generosity flows from gratitude. It flows from trust. It flows from a quiet yet powerful belief that there is enough love, enough goodness, enough possibility, enough time, enough worth. In a culture that constantly whispers scarcity, not enough money, not enough recognition, not enough security, not enough youth, not enough certainty, generosity becomes a counter-spiritual practice. It invites us to loosen our grip, to open our hands, to soften our shoulders, to live from abundance rather than fear. And that shift from fear to trust changes everything. Tonight, we'll explore generosity not simply as writing a check or donating items, but as a way of being in the world, as sharing presence, sharing attention, sharing resources and courage, sharing forgiveness, and sharing love. We will ask, what is generosity? Why does it matter spiritually? And how do we live it in a practical, embodied way without depleting ourselves? Let us take a slow breath together and gently open our hearts as we take a moment to light our chalice. I will be lighting my chalice here at my house. There's my little chalice and the flame. Our chalice lighting verse poem today is called A Reminder of What We Share and was written by Pat Uribe Lichty. The chalice is a symbol of our faith. Like our faith, it is not magic. Nor is it mysterious. We light it as a reminder of what we share as a community and who each of us is called to be. When we feel lost in a chaotic world, may the light of our chalice show us our path. When we're afraid of the times we live in, may the light of our chalice give us courage. When we despair at the injustice and cruelty around us, may our chalice recall us to a faithful hope. Our chalice is a symbol of our commitment to each other and to ourselves. We light it today as a gathered community that we may understand more completely, act more boldly, and hope more fiercely. So let's talk about what is generosity. We admire generous people. We praise them and we feel drawn to them. But let's slow down just a little bit and define what we mean. Here are three definitions of generosity to help ground us. Definition one. Generosity is the readiness to give more of something, time, care, patience, money, kindness than is strictly necessary or expected. Now, notice that phrase, more than expected. Generosity exceeds obligation. It moves beyond transaction. It is not, I'll give you this if you give me that. It is, I have something to offer and I choose to offer it. Definition number two. Generosity is the practice of giving freely without expectation of return. Not strategically, not performatively, not to create indebtedness freely. And this is where generosity becomes spiritual, because giving freely requires trust. And third, our UU framing of generosity. From that UU perspective, generosity is love expressed through shared resources, presence, and mutual care in recognition of our interdependence. It's not charity from above. It is not saviorism. It is circulation within the web of life. If we are interconnected, truly woven together, then generosity is not loss, it's participation. I have to share with you tonight the story of Marcus and Leo. I want to tell you this story about Marcus, a wealthy merchant, and Leo, a poor fisherman. Marcus had ships and treasure and storage rooms filled with abundance. Leo had very little. When famine struck, Marcus hoarded. Leo shared. Leo even gave away his last loaf of bread to a hungry child. That's not logical generosity, it's heart-centered generosity. And eventually, Marcus discovered something profound. Despite his wealth, he felt empty. Despite his abundance, he felt isolated. When he began to give freely and openly, something shifted inside him. The moral of the story? True wealth is not measured by what you keep, but by what you give. Marcus did not become poorer by giving. He became connected, and connection is its own wealth. Excuse me. Generosity is acceptable and accessible to everyone. One of the most important truths from the materials I looked at and reviewed in preparing for this session is that you do not have to be wealthy to be generous. You do not have to be talented or powerful. Anyone can give something, even if it's just a shoulder to cry on. Generosity can look like listening without interrupting, sitting with someone in grief, offering practical help, teaching a skill, volunteering an hour of your time, writing a note of encouragement, or sharing a meal. Generosity is not limited to financial contributions. It includes time and energy, expertise and attention, and forgiveness. One of the affirmations I reviewed for this session says, "A positive outlook and generous attitude emanate from within me." A positive outlook and generous attitude. That line is spiritually rich. Generosity is not merely a behavior. It is posture. It is orientation. Before generosity shows up in your hands, it shows up in your world view. Do I believe there is enough? Do I believe I am supported? Do I believe I can give without disappearing? If scarcity governs your internal narrative, generosity feels dangerous. And if abundance governs your internal narrative, generosity feels natural, just something you do. And abundance is not naivete, it's trust. So, why does this matter so deeply? Because generosity shapes both the giver and the receiver. Generosity strengthens relationships because helping others strengthens connections. We all long for attachment and belonging. When we reach out, bonds form. Relationships improve when generosity flows. There is reciprocity in healthy relationships, not scorekeeping, but mutual uplift. When you are generous, people feel safe around you. They experience you as someone who is not hoarding energy or kindness. And that feeling safe with you builds trust. Trust builds community. And community sustains life. Generosity also helps build self-esteem. It feels good to give. It reminds you that you're capable of impact. It's proof to yourself that you're contributing to the world. And in times when many people struggle with self-worth, generosity becomes stabilizing. You may not control everything or even want to, but you can control whether you show up, whether you give, whether you participate. That builds quiet confidence. Generosity also enriches the giver. Helping others can be life-changing. It opens up your world. You discover more about yourself and you develop new skills. You see perspectives that you might otherwise never encounter, and you come to realize that your life is larger than your personal concerns. There's something deeply freeing about contributing to something bigger than yourself. It shrinks the ego and expands the soul. Generosity and happiness. I brought this topic in, or this part of the topic in, because research has consistently shown that generosity increases happiness. Generous people report greater life satisfaction. Why? Because giving creates meaning. When you know your action helped someone, you feel useful. Purpose fuels joy, and joy fuels resilience. Giving shifts your focus away from rumination, going over things again and again and again in your head, and it helps shift your focus away from negative self-talk, too. It interrupts self-absorption and gives your mind a healthier place to rest. Generosity also can help improve your health because it reduces stress and depression. It increases life satisfaction and may even help reduce your risk of mortality. Spiritually speaking, generosity aligns us with flow rather than contraction. And contraction, emotional or physical, is exhausting. Expansion is energizing. When you are generous, you're declaring a belief in abundance. You're saying, I don't need to hoard. That message reshapes your nervous system. It reduces fear and strengthens trust. In uncertain times, generosity becomes resistance against panic. It says, we are still connected. We are still capable of care. We are still capable of circulation. But here's a crucial balance. It's not healthy to overextend yourself either. Self-harm in the name of generosity is not spiritual maturity. You matter too. Hear me when I say this. You matter too. Healthy generosity flows from wholeness, not depletion. Generosity must include self-compassion. It's not optional. It has to be there. You cannot pour from an empty cup, not because it's cliche, but because it's physiologically and spiritually true. So, how do we embody the value of generosity? Let's bring it into daily life. First, we can start small. The act does not have to be large to be meaningful. You could write a note, offer appreciation, volunteer briefly, donate a small amount. The goal is not magnitude, the goal is momentum. Small, consistent acts shape identity. Number two, align your generosity with passion. Give from what you love. If you love teaching, teach. If you love building, build. If you love organizing, support. When generosity aligns with your gifts, it energizes instead of exhausting you. Number three. Engage community. Consider practical avenues like visiting assisted living centers, supporting literacy programs, organizations like Habitat for Humanity, recovery support networks, civic organizations, and food banks. Helping others can enrich their lives and yours simultaneously. Number four, make generosity a daily practice. Make it a policy for yourself to perform one act of generosity each day. Not for applause, for formation. Habits create character. Character shapes legacy. Number five, practice being a generous listener. Being a generous listener means showing openness, listening without imposing, listening without fixing, listening without rushing. In a distracted world, attention is sacred currency. And number six, don't forget, extend that generosity to yourself. Offer yourself patience. Offer yourself forgiveness. And offer yourself rest. You are part of that interdependent web. We need you, and you deserve care too. I have some reflection questions that I'll upload to the website for you. to be able to download and answer these at your leisure, but I'm just going to read through them for you right now. Number one, where am I holding tightly? Because the tighter you hold on to something, the more difficult it is to be expansive and generous and give it away or let it go. What fear fuels that grip? Is it a sense that there won't be enough? That if you let something go, it won't be yours anymore? It won't come back to you? Number three, what small act of generosity can I practice this week? This afternoon, while I was out doing some snow shoveling, cleaning up, I and my neighbors kind of have this unspoken agreement. We overlap each other's properties. We don't stop right at the end of our property. We always shovel a little further, clean a little more, give them some salt if they don't have any, help shovel if they're out there working at it. I saw a couple of gentlemen this morning. It was a gentleman trying to get his car away from the curb. And he was having a tough time. His tires were spinning. A couple of guys came up the street. They stopped roughly in front of my house. The two of them got out of this car, ran over to the car that was stuck at the curb, and put their backs into it and helped push him out of the spot that he was in so he could get to work. And he waved at them, and they waved at him on their way back to their cars. And then the driver that was behind the gentleman who helped also rolled down his window and waved at them. So it was just a really generous moment, made me smile. Number four, how might generosity deepen my joy? And number five, how can I give in a way that energizes rather than exhausts me? We have a little time left in our session. If you would like to unmute and ask a question or offer an observation on the subject of generosity, I would like to give you that time right now. And I'm actually going to pause the recording at this point. Our recording back on. So, for our closing, we're going to extinguish our chalice and end our session tonight with some words from Amy Zucker Morgenstern. There we go. When we take fire from our chalice, it does not become less, it becomes more. And so we extinguish our chalice. But we take its light and warmth with us, multiplying its power by all our lives and sharing it with the world. Generosity is not about proving goodness. It is about remembering who we are. We are interdependent beings. We are participants in sacred circulation. We are not diminished by giving. We are enlarged. May we live with open hands. May we give from gratitude. May we trust that love multiplies when shared. And may our generosity deepen not only the joy of others, but our own. Amen. Ashe. Blessed be. Thank you for your time and attention this evening. And please take good care of yourselves and your properties after this snow.
Same with you. So good night and thank you.